Forget-Me-Not, written by Emma Blair and read by Claire Higgins.
Chapter 1, 1912. An actress? Minna Wilson smiled at the horrified expression on her son's face. He was outraged. She's quite a respectable woman, Tim, even if she is in the theatre. She comes highly recommended. By whom? He queried harshly. Do you remember the Goodchilds who were here several years ago? Well, she's a relative of theirs. Tim could remember the Goodchilds very well. A pleasant enough couple, as he recalled, certainly no trouble of any kind. Besides which, Minna went on, I have a vacant room needing filling, actress or no? Despite his initial reaction, Tim was beginning to warm to the idea. An actress at the Berkeley. How exotic. Certainly different from the usual clientele who stayed at the small boarding house, which was their main source of income since his father died, the other being his salary from the Torquay Times, where he worked as a junior reporter. What's her name, then? Mrs. Davenport. He wondered what she was like. Young? Old? Good-looking, plain, downright ugly. He doubted it was the latter. It'll certainly make a change, he conceded. Minna's eyes twinkled with amusement. It would that, all right. Their regular guests, those in residence all year round, were all elderly, living out the remainder of their days in a climate far more favourable than wherever they'd come from. She's arriving tomorrow, Minna declared, and is apparently engaged to be playing the season at the Pavilion. The Pavilion was a brand new theatre that had only recently opened. Is she indeed? Tim mused. I've to expect her in the afternoon off the London train. At that moment, their conversation was interrupted by the appearance of Major Sillitoe en route for his daily stroll, during which he would undoubtedly be calling into several of the many pubs that the town boasted. The Major, now retired, had fought with great distinction in the Boer War, and could be something of a bore himself when he got started on the subject. He was someone Tim tended to avoid, if possible. "Ah, good morning, Major," Minna beamed. Sillitoe, a small man with a very large moustache and a florid complexion, doffed his hat. "Good morning to you too, Mrs. Wilson, and a lovely one it is. Off for your walk, I take it? Quite so. I shall head in the direction of Tor Abbey Sands, I think. I haven't been that way for some while now." "Well, enjoy yourself, Major." He gave a small, courteous bow. "Thank you very much. And how are you, young Tim?" Tim loathed being called young. 20 years old, he didn't consider himself that at all. Why, he was the male head of the household, and a wage-earner in a highly respectable profession. Young, indeed. He forced a smile to his face. Paying guests were paying guests, after all. "Fine, thank you, Major. It's kind of you to ask. Now, don't you be late for supper," Minna declared after the Major had taken his leave. "That's happened too often of late." "Can't help it, Ma. Blame the job, not me. I can only get away when I'm finished, you know that." Minna sniffed her disapproval. "Your editor, Mr. Ricketts, is a slave driver and no mistake. I don't suppose it matters what hours he keeps, being a bachelor with no family obligations or responsibilities." "That's how it is, Ma, and there's nothing I can do about it. Anyway, I love my job. Surely that's all that counts. The hours are irrelevant." "Not when your meal is spoilt, they're not." He laughed. "My meals are never spoilt, and you know it. Cook always sees to that." "If anything, it's you who's spoiled, and that's the truth of it. Now, I'd better be getting on. I've lots to do." Tim was at the door when an idea struck him. The forthcoming repertory season at the Pavilion had been mentioned in the paper, of course, but only in general. Perhaps Ricketts might be interested in a feature on one of the cast. Mrs. Davenport, for example. What she'd previously done, who she'd worked with, and so on. The more he thought about it, the more he was convinced that Ricketts would fall for the idea. He decided to mention it at the next day's morning meeting, where suggestions were put forward and discussed. It was later that afternoon when Tim stopped to stare admiringly at the motorbike parked by the curb. What a beauty, he thought. An absolute cracker. He noted the machine was a Royal Enfield, operated by a chain drive, the latest thing.